Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the killer bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On the text line, HRMP listener line, 5506, Little Fingers, hard to kill off. It takes a couple of seasons. That was always the cop. That was always the Game of Thrones cop with Easterby. 1264. My friend and I were discussing this morning, and basically the way we feel about it is that the rebuild can now officially start. To your point, Branham, this decision being praised does show how low the organization is, which is where I'm at, that we're celebrating the firing of an executive VP who had his power stripped away almost a year ago. It's the lowest of the low. It's 32 of 32. This shows that we can now take steps forward. The roster has started to turn over, but now this really marks the Texans getting back to just a basic level of respect. That text is delusion. Like, if you didn't think that the Houston Texans were already in a rebuild, what have you been watching? That now because Jack Easterby is gone, that the Houston Texans organization is going to be on this rapid-fire rebuild? Bro, it had already started when Nick Caserio took the job.
Yeah, look, this is more not how it affects the roster and the team not getting any better on the field because of this. This is more the organization being able to heal. This is more the organization being able to move forward now and erase the last bit of cancer that was remaining after they had been through all the treatments to get rid of everything else that had ailed them. And I think that's why it's being celebrated across the city and across, in a lot of ways, football, because there's so many people that spend their whole life trying to work in football operations to find jobs in football that they can't find. And this guy found his way to fudge his way and then fudge his way into staying way too long in jobs within an organization where he was clearly pulling the wool over people's eyes and just pulling strings a la Brendan Riley and Geppetto, and yet getting away with it to where the frustration level was reaching all-time highs because people were going, he should not be able to do the things he's doing and get to where he got to.
When was the all-time high?
Or low.
Okay, yeah. But, I mean, all-time high in frustration for Easterby, all-time low of the organization. When was that?
It's a good question.
Was it today? Was it yesterday? Or was it 6 months ago?
No, the all-time low was when the rumors started. I think part of it was when the rumors started flying. O'Brien got fired.
SI article came out December of 2020. The Andre Johnson tweet was January 21.
It was right in that time, and then the fact that when O'Brien got fired, he was still there. Because as much as people said, I'm waiting for Bill O'Brien to go, and you know this.
They thought
a ton of people
next.
Said, the minute O'Brien goes, I'll be back. But then when O'Brien went, and not only did Easterby stay, but he elevated to vice president, and they were given even more power. And you were hearing all these stories about him being able to, from Jamie Roots, like you mentioned, to people on the business side that he felt didn't fit culturally, to firing the equipment guys that brought the massage tables for Deshaun Watson, but not saying why. There's all kinds of lows, but he kept surviving it. That's what drove people nuts.
And that's my point. Like, the low isn't today. In fact, the Texans are above rock bottom. Like, the Texans' rock bottom was somewhere in that area, somewhere in that vicinity, and Jack Easterby was, he was either driving the car or he was in the passenger seat, right, next to Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien was fired early October 2020. Add that to the timeline. Bill O'Brien was fired October 5th, 2020. The SI article on Easterby comes out December of 2020. The Andre Johnson tweet comes out January of 2021. Rock bottom wasn't October 17th. It wasn't today. And that's what I'm talking about with this bar of this organization. Like, people, today's a great day to be a Houston Texans fan. Nothing has changed since yesterday. Rock bottom was 2 years ago. Yet you have Cal McNair that did nothing about it for 2 years until today, when people were begging him and pleading him to get rid of Jack Easterby, whether it was with O'Brien in October of 2020, whether it was the SI article in December of 2020, whether it was the tweet from the greatest Houston Texan in franchise history in January of 21, whether it was Vanessa Richardson asking him at a press conference, what in the world do you see in Jack Easterby that you're keeping him around for? Like, this, these are the same people. Now that they finally did it 2 years later, doesn't change that this organization has been inept for 2 years or longer.
Well, but again, Jeremy, I keep going back to this. It's not the fact that this is rock bottom. This is the rebirth. This is the first day of the rest of their lives. The fact that they can finally escape every last bit of shade that was provided. Remember when I said Watson was that dark cloud hovering over the city every day? But the shade that was left by it was Jack Easterby, and he was still around. And that's when you would say, but he's not as front and center as he used to be. And I'd say, you're right, but he's still inside those four walls. Now he's not. Now people, whether it's just like a symbol and it's just symbolic of the new Houston Texans, and they did it for that reason,
right?
Or for the fact that so many people that they had heard and talked to, and you know they always do these focus groups and otherwise, and they're wondering, why do we have to sell group tickets? Why don't we have a waiting list? Why are people not jumping back on board? They see this young team, and a lot of people would refer to the fact that Easterby guy's still around. We don't trust him. We don't know what he can do. So it's not the rock bottom today. It might be the rebirth in the first day of the rest of their lives.
Lamont saying, Pac-Man, get your boy Branham. This sounds like a person who wants to be bad no matter what. They did something that the majority of their fan base wanted. I'm not arguing that. Like, I understand that.
You're arguing the timing of why it took so long?
Sure. Like, and the bar, too, that this city has, like, accepted for the Houston Texans. Like, I'm on board with firing Easterby today all the way through last year, or 2 years ago when they fired O'Brien, October 4th to October 5th, 2020. Like, that has been my range of wanting to fire Jack Easterby. I have no problem with Jack Easterby being fired. He should have been fired a long, long time ago. It gets the black cloud that is Jack Easterby out of the building. And quite honestly, I think he's more symbolic now than he's ever been, because they've already cut the power out of Jack Easterby. Like, why are you going to cut his power but not get rid of him? Like, what's the point of keeping him in the building?
Because he was friends with the owner.
Right. Which is a problem. That's the problem that I'm saying. And the bigger issue that I have...
But we knew Cal was a problem. He has all kinds of problems.
Sure. But that also speaks to my point, right? Like, how are we celebrating an organization that knew Jack Easterby was a problem, but they kept him all the way until October 17, 2022. I can't praise an organization that has kept the dude for 2 years and 2 years too long.
Let me tell you something, though. You know what? And this goes with any, it's not just an organization. Anybody that's an addict, right? Or anybody that has a problem. What denial is the first step, right? I mean, if you're an alcoholic or a drug addict, everybody else notices the problem before you do.
Yeah.
So I think everybody else noticed the fact that you have a problem that you have to rid yourself of or go get help for, and they refuse to do it. And when the owner, the man with the ultimate power, the man that, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of people knocking on his door to be buddies and play video games, finds a guy that he can go to church with and have brunch with that gets along with his wife and seems like, you know, they have the same kind of values, you're in denial. You put blinders on. You don't want to see what everybody else sees.
And I'm okay with that being in the organization, but it should never have the power that it got. Like, if you're employing a dude who's your assistant that you like to be friends with or you like to have lunch with, whatever, I don't care. But the power needs to be minimal. Or no.
Remember
power
what I
at
said?
All.
If he was a true friend, you could fire him and he'd still go to church with you and brunch with you and he'd still be around. Because I don't think, I disagree with your statement from the standpoint of, because of all the damage that had been done, because of the track record of stench that was left behind, you couldn't just find a spot for him in the organization and just hope, you know, just make everybody
think
that
he'd already done
okay.
Too much. I agree with that.
You can't just make him team chaplain again or something.
I meant if you had somebody from the outside that you're friends with and you're just going to give him a job, like he's your receptionist, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care about that, but he shouldn't have as much sway
as he had. The visibility,
and he went too far.
The missteps, the sensationalism of everything he did.
But when did it go too far? 2020, the fall of 2020,
like,
December
of 2020. Like, I think the fact that he got Cal to get his plane to go get a guy that wasn't on the Corn Ferry list and got him hired before they came back to Houston, and all along Cal couldn't see. The main reason this dude's doing this is because the six people that Corn Ferry recommended weren't going to keep him around.
That was offseason 21.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, so I mean, that should have been the final straw, right? Yet we're celebrating the Texans for doing it even after that, which I think is on the back end of that timeline. 18 months ago? OG saying if he's still in the organization, y'all still talk mess about him being in it. Now they fire him and you complain about that, then what the heck are we supposed, what are they supposed to do? Quite honestly, we haven't talked about Easterby all season long because Easterby had his footballs cut off from him. Like he had zero sway.
I had mentioned him, and that then you would follow with that. And I think that that's where, you know, OG just has his own twisted sense of reality too. But the fact is you guys, we each have our own separate opinions. And that's why we have a talk show and we discuss it. And the fact that in discussing this, we're breaking down why some people are analyzing and hyper-analyzing and celebrating Jack being gone. Other people are wondering why it took too long, why it took this long. I think I'm of the camp that I'm in disbelief that it finally actually happened because so much had happened where it already should have been done. But the fact that he's gone, I think, is such a relief. Look, I can tell you from a business perspective, that is a relief to so many people that work there on a daily basis.
I'm fine with the relief. I'm fine with being, like, encouraged. I'm fine with the fact that he's no longer in the building and can no longer potentially influence anything. Because, like, I don't think he had influence in anything. But one thing that it does remove is any sort of question or doubt that he could be involved. Josh McCown was on the interview list last year for the second time in 2 years. Everybody thought that was Jack Easterby's baby, right? Well, what if it wasn't? What if that was just Nick Caserio thinking that Josh McCown is going to be the next greatest head coach in NFL history because he has elite leadership skills? Well, we couldn't believe that because Jack Easterby's involved. I think that the best thing that this does is it eliminates the question and doubt that it could be an Easterby play. Oh, Rex Burkhead's still on this team. It must be Jack Easterby. Oh, Josh McCown's interviewing again. Oh, it must be Jack Easterby. Eliminating the question and the doubt is reason enough for him to be fired on top of all of the other things that he has done in the past that we've already reviewed and we have went over. But whenever I look at this organization as a whole, I'm not any more optimistic today than I was yesterday because they've already cut the power away from Jack Easterby. And I feel like this organization has set such a low bar in this city that we're celebrating the news of a dude being fired that should have been fired 2 years ago. I don't understand. I don't want that to be acceptable for the city of Houston. If this were to go on in Philadelphia, if this went on in New York, if this went on in any, like, Green Bay, you name your NFL market out there that would have allowed this to be okay, it doesn't exist. Why do we allow this to be okay in the city of Houston?
Because it's not just Houston, Jeremy. It's society as a whole where everything for the longest period of time that you thought was so far-fetched, so sensationalized, so fictional that there was no way that it could possibly be, has become reality. And in the process, not only did it become reality, it became your own living hell as you watched it unfold on a daily basis. So the fact that people are celebrating, the fact that people are finally, like, ding dong, the witch is dead, finally having the relief of being able to say, we no longer have to hear that name. So look, it's like Deshaun. Once he became somebody else's problem,
that's relief,
you
though.
Rid yourself of the problem. But I think there's a ton of relief in the fan
absolutely,
base.
Absolutely. The part that annoys me, though, is the praise that Cal McNair and the Houston Texans front office is getting. In no way should they be praised today.
No, I agree with that. But I think that, again, the fan base, that's just a small side story to the headline, which is that he's gone, and finally, for a ton of people, they have the relief of knowing he can no longer try and negatively affect this franchise.
The relief, though, of this organization is, like, why the organization sucks. Relief we have Lovey instead of Culley. Okay, great. How about getting Brian Daboll? How about getting somebody who's going to win a bunch of football games? Oh, the relief we now have of Jack Easterby being fired after 2.5 long years of Jack Easterby being a cloud. Oh, great. I feel relief. Like, relief is the best thing that the Texans have to ask for?
It's baby steps, Jeremy. It's baby
steps.
Get
out of here with that.
You got rid of him. You got a young roster with a draft that is talented enough to build around. You know you weren't going to win. I hated to break it to people, but you should have known going into the season you weren't going to be a playoff team, and you weren't there yet. But though there was the same fan base had you know, those delusional opinions. But they're looking for little small victories that they can capitalize on. The team looks better. The roster looks better. The draft was better. The trade for Watson was better. Now you add to the fact that this guy has been eliminated from your franchise. That's better. So you can't win a Super Bowl overnight. You can't make the playoffs overnight. But this is another in a series of steps that makes people want to believe in the Houston Texans again.
713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Apologize for our signal today. We weren't ready for the rain, I guess. But I hear 92.5 is doing a little better than 97.5. As always, you can stream with us at ESPN975.com. I believe that's crystal clear. Or you can head over to twitch.tv, ESPN975, and follow along that way as well. So people want to weigh in on the Jack Easterby. He is no longer here. 713-780-ESPN, which we all agree is a good thing. I think it's long overdue. And some of the praise that I've seen for the Houston Texans organization that allowed to keep him around for 2 years, way too long, I find to be quite annoying. I find it to be silly, quite honestly. And I do think, like, I hear what you're saying about small steps. The time is always right to do what is right. I get all of that. Mm-hmm. But it is still also the same people running the show that kept him around for this, 2.5 years too long.
But I think this clearly shows you who's boss, Jeremy. I think as much.
Who? Like, I would love to know the answer to that question.
I think it's Nick.
You think Nick was able to.
I think Nick either got through to Cal too. But Nick was able to say, as much as it was ludicrous in the first place, again, sensationalism that comes reality when you think that the former team chaplain has as much power as your general manager, and then to finally say, look, you know what, I let him hang around, I let him see what he could do, but at a certain point, this is my show, and he's not helping me to run it the way I want it run. He's got to go. And whether he put it as bluntly as it's my way, or it's either me or him with Cal, but somehow, some way, they got through to the one guy that was protecting him in Cal, I believe, and showed you this is Nick's show and he's running it.
Yeah, look, that's good. That's good.
Like, it's great.
Everything that, like, the fallout from this, everything is positive. Like, I don't want to get twisted what I'm trying to say. The problem that I have is, like, all of a sudden saying, oh, great job, Cal McNair. The Texans are going to really turn the corner. They're going to be a playoff team next year. How does this influence the 53-man roster at all?
But I don't think it has to. I don't think people are worried about it from that respect.
Oh, I beg to differ. Like, I've seen this talk on Twitter all morning long.
You know why, though? Those aren't the true
I think it's invested, people who are oblivious.
Yeah, those aren't those true invested football guys, football fans
or
of the team.
Or over-the-top honks.
These are the guys that are the occasional fan or the fan that, you know, doesn't understand all the different idiosyncrasies of how the game works. Because the reason why those kind of people feel this way is because they know, and Bill O'Brien went out of his way to say from the draft to the trades where Jack was involved. So we know these things. So we know in the past he's actually had a negative effect on the roster.
Sure,
but as it goes forward, I think no one that's a true diehard Texans football guy knows he doesn't have a say-so anymore.
I don't think he's had a say since Nick got here with the 53.
Right.
Now, was he, you know, using
meddling
his power in other ways?
And, yeah.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. 2727, what do you think Easterby, a.k.a. Pigskin Holstein, next job will be? Another team in the league or what? I saw Florio mentioning this on Twitter, saying he thinks that he could end up with an NFL team. He mentioned Carolina as an example. Who in their right mind would hire Jack Easterby? Why? What's the value of bringing Jack Easterby in? Like, even if you say he was good as a team chaplain, okay, fine. I'll concede that he was good as a team chaplain. But the moment that you bring him into the organization, you open up your organization to so much backlash because of how it went down in Houston. I don't think he's ever going to work in the NFL again. I think he'll go be a team chaplain at a university.
I think
he'll
be like, college.
Yeah, at best.
You're right, because the negativity that would surround even the most subtle, off-the-beaten-path announcement that, say, the Carolina Panthers put out in the transaction section without a major press release. The Panthers have hired former vice president of football, Jack Easterby, to be their new team chaplain or whatever like that.
Right.
There's no way that gets swept under the rug.
Exactly.
There's no way. And the first thing people are bringing up is you just brought a cancer into the organization that could affect this whole thing negatively in so many ways. He will never escape the negativity that he created for himself and others helped to build up for him in terms of what he did here and parlay that into another professional job. I think colleges will say, we got an NFL guy. We got a guy that's been through the trenches on so many different levels with
can't
an NFL team.
Can't be a GM, can't make a trade, can't sign a contract.
Players that don't make more than him, that can't have backlash and fight back and throw his note cards back at him, that can say, hey, I need this guy who motivates me, who finds me with positive thoughts, who does all these things that helps me to keep my mind clear. And we have group therapies on Friday nights. That's fine on a – maybe he's the new Liberty – whatever, director of football operation.
Yeah. Look, Aggie Matt needed this to become a Texans fan again for sure. See? Good to be able to root for the home team again. Someone else texting, and I can finally be a Texans fan again with Jack gone. See, this is like, and maybe this is why it annoys me. I'm not arguing that today's not a positive to get Jack out. Like, understand that. Maybe I just want more for the NFL franchise in this city, or small victories annoy me. Like, this city should be a winner. Like, we saw this team in the playoffs 3 years ago that were on the verge of beating Kansas City at Arrowhead and about to host their first ever AFC championship game. Like, I get the small victories. I understand the hurdles. I understand that it's a process, not a result. And look, we've liked what we've seen from Nick Caserio. I've not denied that. Like, Nick Caserio so far, in my opinion, not that he's bulletproof. He's made some, you know, the jury's still out. But I like him more than I don't. I just hate that all we can feel as the like in this city from the NFL team are the small victories. You know what I want? I want a team that can go out and contend for a Super Bowl. I want an AFC South champion. I want a quarterback I can believe in. I don't want a coach that has been on his third NFL team that really doesn't have a future in the NFL other than this being his final retirement tour job. I hate the small victories. This should be a city where the team is, like, look at the Astros. The Astros aren't going to accept some small victories. They're thinking about firing their GM and their manager going off a deep playoff run. Meanwhile, the Houston Texans, oh, yeah, we got rid of little
Jack
Easterby.
No,
we hired old Joe Lovie Smith.
Going to take you from where they are now
but
any
further.
But it's
the fall that got you there. Like, and that's what Jack Easterby symbolizes.
But
it's the fall that made you hit rock bottom.
Right, but you got to take these baby steps in advancement for positivity until it's time to take a big step.
But we don't celebrate it like it's the greatest thing in the world.
Jeremy.
Like, I don't disagree with what you're saying. Like, what I'm trying to, like, mention and really push across is like the level of excitement it should be. Is it a positive? Yes. Should the Houston Texans be praised and be planning the parade? Absolutely not.
I think that it's much like after someone that has committed a multitude of horrendous crimes but hasn't been prosecuted yet. Should it have been a quick prosecution? Should it have been a cut and dried, you know, quick case and punishment leveled and time either served or worse? Sure, but the fact that there's still that moment of relief, still that ability to finally be able to have peace of mind to say he's no longer in our organization. He's no longer a guy that can hurt us anymore. I think that's why there's a level of celebration that goes with it. I'm not saying that.
But we still want to trust the person that employed that criminal for 2.5 years longer than anybody else wanted.
But again, we're not inside. We don't know if that was Cal alone. But we know that, you know, Nick has more and more been kind of establishing the fact that this is his show and he's running it. And you know, we all know that unless we're actually in there on a daily basis, a lot of things take more time sometimes than you'd like. But the fact that at least the right decision was made at the end of the day gives you the peace of mind.
See, that's
that they're going in the right direction.
See,
but that's the reality of it.
I understand it's the reality of it, and I'm glad that he's fired. But the whole, well, at least he's gone now, that's a loser's mentality.
You got to have it until you win again, Jeremy. You're not winning enough to do it. That's why
you were winning whenever he got brought into this organization.
But Jeremy, you know it, and we've said it. The roster isn't good enough. The fact that they
it was when he got hired.
Right, but you can't go back and get redos on everything that's already been done.
Right.
So the fact that you can rid yourself of him while you try and rebuild from all the damage that he and Bill O'Brien did.
I understand that, but you don't have to celebrate it, though, either.
Oh, I think you do. I really do.
Okay, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Some other news went down in the city of Houston today involving some big money. The Houston Rockets splurging on one of their own. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, I want to tell you again about the good people at MyBookie. I've been telling you about MyBookie for quite a while, and I'm going to again tell you about MyBookie because of the fact that they continue with their double your next deposit, and they do so much more. Your favorite athletes are always striving to put themselves in a winning position, and now you can do the same with MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag has the biggest online selection of odds and contests to fill all your sports betting needs anytime, anywhere, like I always tell you. You can bet on the NFL, Major League Baseball playoffs, college football. They even have weekly blackjack tournaments, and you can cash in on some big prizes. If you've been waiting for the right time to get in on the action, again, the time is now. This is the last week. I'm going to tell you again, the last week of this double your initial deposit bonus. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use that promo code BET975. Claim that double deposit match almost instantaneously up to $1,000. The last week you can do it. Put $200 in, get $400 in your account. So on and so forth, up to $1,000. Again, promo code BET975. Claim the deposit now while it's still there. Experience sports in a whole new light. Make this season a winning one and go with the only place I tell you to go with when you want to put some money down on a game. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. Covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll get to the Rockets extension with one of their own in a moment. 7565 on the HRP listener line, 713-780-ESPN. Now that Easterby's fired, can we fire Branham? Sorry you don't like my thoughts. 713-780-3776. But we appreciate you listening. Let's go out to the HRMP
listener
line. Stop
talking stupid.
Now let's go. Can't fix it. Sam wants to get in on the Easterby Texans getting rid of him. Sam, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Sam?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
Just, you know, heard or y'all debating about if it should be celebrated or not celebrated. I think it should be celebrated. I mean, we just got rid of this guy who sucked the team like a parasite.
Sure.
I mean, he destroyed everything that Texans had. I mean, the Texans have never been a Super Bowl contender, but we live in a good city. We have a lot of sports fans. I mean, I think Texans don't care because every ticket, every game is a sellout. Even if people
well,
not showing
that's
up.
Not, that's not true, year, Sam. It's been going backwards. It's been trending downwards for the last 2 years. Ratings are down on the Houston Texans, unlike it's ever been seen.
I'm not talking about ratings. I'm talking about, you know,
you were talking about seats in the butt. Holders. The attendance numbers have went down. Season ticket holders have never been lower. I'm talking about
there's
both.
No more waiting list.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers have went down, Sam.
There's still a wait line, right?
No, I don't believe that there is. I believe if you wanted to get season tickets, you can get them in for next year right now.
Sam, they used to have, and I forget what the number was, I think it was like 70-some thousand on a waiting list. Now you can get group tickets. They had to hire a section of the ticket department for group sales so they could try and sell tickets in groups to try and get
maybe,
more butts
and
seats.
That was one of the reasons why Easterby got fired. But, I mean, I think we should celebrate it. I mean, why shouldn't we celebrate it? This guy got rid of...
Go ahead, Sam. I didn't mean to cut you off.
This guy got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, he got rid of everybody. And, yeah, do I think the general... I mean, I don't know. I'm not going for the general manager's head. I'm definitely not going for anybody's job. But at the end of the day, Jack Easterby hired him. I mean, so I don't know. Am I sure about this GM?
Here's where I'm at with this, Sam, and appreciate the call. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. I agree that the firing of Jack Easterby should be celebrated. I agree with that. I am happy that Jack Easterby is no longer a member of the Houston Texans. I think it is a very positive day that Jack Easterby is no longer around. I do think that that should be celebrated. What I fall short of doing is to give praise to the Houston Texans organization that let that snake roam the organization in the walls of the front office for 2.5 years while he traded away DeAndre Hopkins a long time ago.
See,
while he forced Deshaun Watson out a long time ago. Whenever he was working with Bill O'Brien, who got fired October of 2020. I'm all for celebrating the firing of Jack Easterby. I really am. I am happy he's no longer here. Where I stop short on is praising the rest of the organization because they don't deserve it.
I agree with you.
I saw it all morning.
I
saw it all morning.
And I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I haven't seen that. I just think that, you know, for the majority of the fan base, without giving any kudos or compliments to the organization, they're just thankful he's gone. It's a celebratory day because of the fact that they no longer have this guy's name associated with their favorite football team, or they can make it their favorite football team again. It's the same way we were so tired of hearing about and talking about Deshaun on a daily basis, to the point where it was Cleveland's problem and not ours anymore, was a day to celebrate. I mean, it wasn't that we should, you know, and I gave kudos.
That was kind of away from football, though. Like, if Deshaun, let's look, this is a world we can't live in because you can't just sweep under the rug 26 sexual misconduct cases. And, oh, yeah, there was a new one, by the way, last week. But before there was ever sexual misconduct cases, the franchise quarterback wanted out.
Yeah.
And Jack Easterby was still calling a lot of the shots when that happened. Like Jack Easterby got rid of DeAndre, got rid of forced Deshaun's hand to get out of here.
But you can't rewrite history, right? We can't go back and fix the wrongs that he made.
But we also, I understand that we can't fix the wrongs that he made, and I understand that you can't rewrite history, but absolutely you're going to look at somebody's resume, and absolutely you're going to look at the things that somebody did when you're evaluating that job. Like, all of the things that you bring up that were Jack Easterby's misfortunes and missteps and all of the reasons he brought the organization down. Completely agree, it's reason to celebrate today. But you could have literally fired him for that 2 years ago. That's why I'm fine celebrating the firing of Jack Easterby, but you praise the Houston Texans for keeping around the guy that should have been fired 2 years ago for another 2 years does not deserve the praise.
Yeah, I just think that the one thing that you can't change are really, really rich people's choices sometimes. And we've seen this with ownership. We've seen Dan Snyder and others get away with way more than they should have ever been allowed to get away with. Cal McNair has never gotten into the boundary levels of Dan Snyder. But Cal McNair, you know, obviously was kind of a loner, doesn't seem to have a whole lot of friends. But because Jack Easterby was his friend and he's a rich guy that makes all the decisions, he protected Jack Easterby because he was protecting his friend. And it was frustrating and it was bothersome and it was very, very detrimental to this franchise. But it was something that was out of our control. That's why everybody thought, as much as we saw the light and knew that the right decision was to get rid of him, we also faced the reality that maybe that would never happen. The fact that it did.
Right, but that's not, like, again,
I just think we're beating
can,
it to no, death
I,
because.
I mean, it's the biggest story in the city
of
Houston. People are texting
about
in around
Easterby.
The chain. How are we beating it to death? This is going to be the highest rated segment for the last hour of our entire show. How are you beating it to death?
Because I don't think that you can only say so many times. I haven't seen it. I don't know if there were tweets, texts, whatever, but I haven't seen anybody.
Then you weren't paying attention.
I've seen everybody celebrate that he's gone. I haven't seen everybody giving the Texans flowers.
Go open up the Twitter.com between 8 and to the start of our show and you would see it. Like, again, and like, this is fine to celebrate the Easterby. But maybe it's because I don't want a mediocre loser mentality franchise in the city of Houston for the Houston Texans. Like, look at all the things that the Houston Texans have celebrated. Not that long ago, they were in the divisional round of the AFC game against the Chiefs at Arrowhead with a huge lead. They were 2.5 quarters away from hosting an AFC championship game. Bill O'Brien got fired 4 games into the very next season when he and Jack Easterby were managing the entire organization, right? They had a fall from grace. They went from that, from being 2.5 quarters away from being in the AFC championship game and hosting it for the first time in franchise history, to totally tearing the organization down. And Jack Easterby had a huge hand in that. So, yes, it is positive that he is gone 2.5 years later after all of that happened. But he was also employed for 2 years after all of that happened. And there's no reason whatsoever that the Houston Texans should be getting credit for firing a dude that should have been fired 2 years ago. If somebody owed me $500, would I be relieved that they paid me $500 2 years later? Yes, I would be relieved that I finally had my money. But would I be happy with them? Would I trust them? Absolutely not. And that's how we as a city should be looking at the Houston Texans right now. I'm not happy with them. I don't trust them right now. Am I relieved they got rid of a snake? Yeah, congratulations. But it does nothing to this organization. It does nothing to the roster. And it doesn't change the direction and the tide of this organization whatsoever.
I think you got we keep going back and forth on this and running around it. But the thing to me is, you have to take the small victories when you get them, because you're not in a position yet to get the bigger victories. I'm sorry, I haven't seen the praise for the franchise. I've seen the celebration of the getting rid of Jack Easterby. I've seen people announce the news and then the other people jump on board and be so grateful and say they're coming back to the team. But from a team perspective, the fact is, we've already highlighted, he hasn't been around the team to have the kind of say-so that he once had to affect the roster. Lord knows how much he did or didn't affect the hiring of, not, we know he affected the general manager, but this coaching debacle that went all off season. But we know one thing's for sure, he's not going to be able to do it anymore going forward. He's not going to be, and this team wasn't going to the Super Bowl or the playoffs anyway, if you listen to us, and we talked about it from the time, well before the season started, much to the chagrin of these blue Kool-Aid drinking fans who thought this was the year that they could already sniff the playoffs. So you got to take the victories when you can get them. You know this team has only so many boundaries to get victories on, and right now on the field, it's very tough to even get one. But they got that, and they got a tie. So this is something that at least they can celebrate with a smile on their face that the team's going in the right direction, even if it isn't, like, monumental.
See, I understand that, and that's why I'm fine that if you're going to celebrate the whole Easterbees fired and all of that. My frustration and annoyance comes in two parts. One is the fact that, Cal McNair is doing right by this organization. I can finally be a Texans fan again. Nothing's really changed. This roster is still this roster. The draft picks that you have are still the draft picks that you have. This organization's been going in a different direction for the last 12 months. Whether it's Cal McNair talking on a Reddit, whether it's Nick Caserio having more power, whether it's the new team president, what's his name, Greg Grissom, that is like move things.
He's
like,
been there forever.
They've been moving the needle before Jack Easterbee's firing today. Like, nothing's going to change within the organization, other than the black cloud and the symbol that is Jack Easterbee's no longer there.
But it goes back to what I said a little earlier. What it could do is finally give you some clarity as to who's in charge.
No, that's what I said too. Yeah, I said that it eliminates the questions and it eliminates the doubt.
I'm never going to be on board that Cal knows what he's doing. I'm never going to give Cal any credit for anything, because I'm always going to question if someone made that decision for him or he had never even knew in the process. I hope to God he never knew about the DeAndre Hopkins trade, because otherwise there's nothing that can validate it from Cal's perspective.
Right.
So from this, the one thing that I can take away from it is, if this was, and again, hopefully we'll find out, we may never find out, but if this was Nick Caserio finally going to Cal and saying, I know he's your buddy, I know he's your friend, I can't deal this with anyone.
I would agree with that.
Then I would be even more celebratory in the fact they finally got a hierarchy and allowed this guy who they gave a massive deal and a long-term deal to the keys and said, here's everything now. Now there's no more distraction.
Agree with that. And the second part where it frustrates me, this will be the last thing we say about it, or I say about it, I'm not going to shut you up. I understand celebrating the small victories and accepting the small victories, as you should. Like, it is one step at a time. This is a long rebuild
for
the organization
to
hit rock bottom. But yeah, that's absolutely true. But I do think it is a loser's mentality as a fan base where you're like, well, that's great. At least he's gone. Well, we got Lovey. At least he's not David Culley. You should aspire for more. Like, fans in Philly aren't going to, like, oh, yeah, we got a mediocre head coach who's 67 years old. Oh, yeah, we fired our executive VP. They're not going to care about that in New York.
See,
like,
Jerry,
the Jets fans and Giants fans want to win a Super Bowl off a three-win season.
But you can do both. You can celebrate the small victory and still expect a ton more.
But
we
don't have that. We don't have the second part. And that's the point that I'm trying to make.
But don't you believe it's coming?
We should do more of that as a city, as a whole.
True, but don't you believe it's coming from what we've seen?
From what I've seen the last 3 years of this fan base? No, I don't.
I believe it
gives you... And from Cal McNair?
But I believe just from Nick Caserio alone, it gives you more of an optimistic approach than it does a reason to pause.
But are you more hopeful of Nick Caserio today than you were 24 hours ago?
It doesn't affect me one way or the other.
But you talked about how this move helps hopefulness and optimism.
It does, because of the fact that you erased some of the distractive negativity that's continued to circle around this franchise, and especially from as it relates to national media, national outlets, other football people that still considered this franchise a bumbling joke, even though we've seen the progress. And if it also means that Nick has clearly established this is his show to run now and not anybody else's, and if Cal just stays the hell out of the way, and now it's just about Nick doing the right thing. Yeah, Lovey's not the long-term coach. He's not the answer.
Right.
We don't know who the franchise quarterback's going to be. We know we've got a lot more pieces than we had a year ago, and we know we've got a ton of draft capital to keep building on that. So I think that there's enough there to say that if the passing of the torch was, this is all Nick now, and whether he got it done or someone, however it got done, I don't care, as long as we truly can let this man do the job he was hired to do.
Do you think he wasn't, though, yesterday?
I think 6 months ago, I would say I don't think he was.
But not yesterday?
Yeah, I don't know why they picked now. Maybe. Now, if you listen to John McClain, it was because he was sticking his nose in other departmental business where it didn't belong, and he was trying to meddle too much in too many areas. He's been doing that for a long time, too. But if he did it in the wrong department at the wrong time, I can't answer why it happened today, but I can be happy that he's finally out of this organization.
But it doesn't change my opinion of Nick Caserio.
I don't think it changes in terms of my opinion of this football team and where it stood yesterday and where it stands today. Nothing has changed except for the fact that they now can rid themselves of this big wart that was creating nothing but pain and ugliness for the franchise.
The wart of Jack Easterby, no longer in Houston. All right, let's give it to the Kevin Porter Jr. news. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I got to tell you about a company you need to know about. Fidelity Fuels. They're a wholesale supplier and distributor of petroleum products. Construction managers, trucking companies, oil field professionals, industrial workers, farmers, any type of fleet fueling, Fidelity Fuels wants to partner with you. Emergency response. You probably are able to handle that, whether it's hurricanes, floods. We see freezes in Houston, cold front coming in. So you probably have a generator to have that emergency response. But do you have your fuel lined up for said generator? Fidelity Fuels can make sure that you're prepared for that. How can they help trucking companies? Well, efficiency. Keep your drivers out of the truck stops and have more control of your fuel spending. Are you tired of paying retail prices for your DEF? Well, let Fidelity drop a tote right in your yard, saving you time and money. Do you need solvent for crude or asphalt cleanup, from tools to terminal storage tanks? Fidelity offers a variety of solvents to meet your exact need. Fidelity Fuels can help on the construction site, too. Mobile tank for on-site fuel storage and delivery to fill up those dirt movers or whatever else that you need fueled. Fidelity Fuels works around the clock. No breaks with Fidelity Fuels. 24/7, 365 holidays, you name it. They're WBESBEDBE and Hub certified. If you're looking for a partner for municipal contracts or to fulfill your company's diversity goals, Fidelity can help. Reliable deliveries and competitive pricing, that's Fidelity Fuels. Call now at 877-938-FUEL, 877-938-3835, or check them out online at FidelityFuels.com, FidelityFuels.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Kevin Porter Jr., four-year, $82.5 million extension with the Houston Rockets. Investing in Kevin Porter Jr. like he's a cornerstone in this franchise. What'd you think of the Rockets locking up KPJ?
I think that the way it was written shows you that everything that I have told you guys about having reason to be pause and have concern before doing anything with Kevin Porter Jr. was definitely a reality on the inside. Because as you read the details that come out, and ESPN's the one that are reporting that the first year of the deal is guaranteed, but future seasons have several mechanisms in order to fully guarantee them. That means, without saying any more, getting into detail, that the Rockets got smart in structuring a deal that if he keeps having the hiccups, and the hiccups become burps, become regurgitation, and become more and can get really ugly, the Rockets can get out from under this deal. As I've always stated with you in these discussions and anytime it comes up, it isn't about his basketball talent. He is a talented basketball player. It's everything else. It's how he handles the off court. It's how he handles any kind of adverse situation. It's how he handles and deals with authority that has gotten him in trouble in the past and hasn't gone away since he's been a Rocket. So it is reason to pause and have concern. It's a surprising deal to me because they didn't have to do this now. They had all season, when you and I were talking about it, from any discussion leading into this season with the Rockets, this is a do-or-die, big-time, prove-it deal season for Kevin Porter Jr. You haven't played a game yet in the regular season, and you wrap him up to this kind of deal. It gives me a little bit of concern, but but I'm also pleased that there are those clauses in there that protect the organization.
I think this is a really shrewd move by Rafael Stone and the Houston Rockets. I think that they hit a home run with this signing of Kevin Porter Jr., to be honest. You don't let good players walk out of the door. I understand Kevin Porter Jr. has had issues and big issues in the past. Cleveland basically let him go for a bag of chips. They were going to waive him, and the Rockets, before you do that, let's throw in a very conditional second-round pick to trade for Kevin Porter Jr. We all know about the halftime blowout when he left the locker room in the middle of an NBA game. Like, how often does that happen? So there's a lot of risk with Kevin Porter Jr. as a basketball player, but it's very difficult to let a good player walk out of the door for free. The fact that Rafael Stone was able to get a four-year deal and only guarantee that first year, basically making this contract a year-by-year contract. It's basically a prove-it deal for 4 years for Kevin Porter Jr. Oh, Kevin, like, this is a handsome contract. He's going to get paid a good amount, $82 million over 4 years. That's over $20 million a year. So they're paying Kevin Porter Jr. a hefty amount. That said, like, looking where it's at relative to other NBA contracts, it's right there on par with other NBA contracts. And to throw in the caveat that you make it a year-by-year contract and a player that has a lot of risk, you've eliminated all the risk and you only have the reward for Kevin Porter Jr. So you're making him earn it each and every year. I think this was a chess move by Rafael Stone. I think he did a marvelous job with this contract.
Rosetta Stone has a legal background. And he was a lawyer before he became the general manager of the Houston Rockets. He was the legal counsel at the Rockets that when I worked there. This was a savvy legal move. And this is, I'm not going to say that I disagree with anything that you said, because he does deserve credit for this. Because this is the kind of thing that agents a lot of times will frown on. Will say that somebody else will give us a contract that also doesn't include these stipulations. But I think both sides knew, and this was in a different way, this was like Yordan's contract with the Astros. If you wait, you could potentially get more, but there could be more ramifications too if you don't, if you wait and then do it without these kind of stipulations. He wanted the money. They wanted the outs if they needed them, mm-hmm. while they continued to show outwardly that this is the guy we went out and got when no one else wanted him. And he says we saved his life. He saved us in a lot of way of a longer rebuild. So we're going to do what's necessary. So I agree with you. Rosetta Stone gets credit for this one based on his background and how shrewdly he did this contract. Now, he still's got to perform.
Sure.
And so this is a big deal because, again, the way that this was constructed also, he's in the final year of his original deal. Then he goes into this deal next year. You get the money because you get John Wall's contract off the books. So initially, you're basically even more recommitting and doubling down on the core group of young players we have are going to be the crux of everything we do. We might add a veteran here or there if we can get the right contract, but we're not going to overspend on another big-time free agent to add to this group right now.
Yeah, I love the fact that it's year by year. I mean, it basically is. For Kevin Porter Jr., I think if he would have just bet on himself this year, and look, it depends on the season he has, obviously. I think he's going to have a fine season in terms of like where his value is in the NBA. I think he easily surpasses the money that he gets here in terms of guarantees. Like, his overall contract might have been $20 million a year for 4 years, but it would have all been guaranteed. Like, it does, like, looking at it from a Kevin Porter Jr. perspective, like, Rafael Stone, I think, did a great job. Doesn't let a good player walk out of the door for free. He pays him a hefty amount, which is fair market value for a player that is produced like Kevin Porter Jr., even though we don't think he's a point guard. But to make it year by year, where he's having to earn it each and every year, is very important. From a Kevin Porter Jr. perspective, I'm surprised he signed off on this deal. It sounds like Kevin Porter Jr. is betting on himself to be behaved, to be somebody who can be trusted upon.
Well, I think it also says, Jeremy, that I don't know that Kevin Porter Jr. thought he could get this anywhere else, because I think the word,
I think he would have.
I think the word started getting out that Rockets did a hell of a job, and I talked to a lot of people in the NBA and a lot of people around the Rockets that had said that they had done everything they could to make sure whatever they were dealing with him was only something they knew about. And then I think some of these things, and again, like you alluded to, the halftime incident, there were a couple other things where it started to, their little bits and pieces started to have teens' ear a little bit and going, I don't know if what I'm hearing is the kind of thing I want to make, the kind of commitment that he's looking for. So I think from his perspective, to jump on it too, he realizes that there were concerns. And he likes the fact that he feels comfortable here, and this is the franchise that knows his shortcomings and his strengths. Do you think he's the second? Where would you, judging on last year's Rockets team, was he their second best player?
Last year?
Last year.
He wasn't, I mean, he, in a lot of games, he produced better than Jalen Green because Jalen Green
right.
didn't
and Christian
like, put
Wood,
up a lot of numbers.
Numbers-wise, might have been your best player. So was he your second best player?
I would say he's top two. I mean, most of the season until like the last couple months, he might have been the best.
So there you go. So if he's one of the best players on your roster.
Now you've added.
Okay, I get that. But what you just hear me out where I'm going with this, all right? The going rate for one of the top two or three players in this league is between 50 and about $37 million.
Look what Tyler Hero got.
Right.
Look what Jordan Poole's getting.
Right. So there you go in a nutshell. And those guys aren't the first, second, or third best players on their team.
Right.
So you're taking a guy that right now is the best, one of the best players on your team and getting him in the 20s. That's a deal.
Yeah. From a number perspective, you're getting value here. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if he's going to be the number two best player on this team going forward. Like, he should be behind Jalen Green. I think he should be behind Jabari Smith
eventually,
going forward.
Jabari Smith.
Now, and then also, this contract kind of aligns with Jabari Smith's rookie contract, too. You get 4 years on the rookie deal after you pick up the option. So it kind of matches in terms of what
but
you're
But it gives you
Jabari.
Financial flexibility if, like, Tari Eason and other guys. It allows you to keep more of this core group together because he didn't max you out.
I think this is from a...
That's
from
why it's like a Yordan deal. He didn't get as much as maybe he could have, but this allows you more strength to keep numbers.
But where it's unlike a Yordan deal is you've eliminated the risk. Like, Yordan, that's a no-brainer. He's getting $17 million a year. James Click robbed Yordan Alvarez, but the risk of Yordan Alvarez is that he has a bad body and that entire contract is guaranteed. The risk of Kevin Porter Jr. is that he's going to go AWOL again and leave your team at halftime. But now it's not guaranteed every single year, which is unlike any other NBA contract.
He knows what the ramifications are, right? It was the unknown of the past playing on the deal that he was playing on. He didn't know how this might affect him long-term in the NBA.
Yeah.
But now that he knows that there is a set dollar figure that is basically relying on him to be a good soldier,
gotta earn it.
That's why it's important. And it also works in the organization's favor because now he knows exactly what the punishment is if he acts up.
Yeah, to me, it's an A+. I think Rafael Stone hit it out of the park in terms of the overall dollar value. Of
you've made that
one
point
of your best
clear
players.
Twice. You don't have to keep it. I agreed with you.
He hit a home run with this Kevin Porter Jr. deal. We'll see what he does on the floor, though. We'll see if he lives up to the 4 years of the contract. Will he be a Rocket all four of those years? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Every Monday at 2, it's our Mailbag Monday. Whatever you want to ask the Killer Bees. You can ask us what we think of Sean Mapes. You can ask us what we think of Brendan Riley leaving us high and dry on a Monday. You can ask us about Jack Easterby, the Astros, the Rockets, food, dating advice. Whatever you want, your questions for the Killer Bees, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, maybe Key from L.A. will call in and ask us what we think about hiring Jack Easterby for a culture change with the Dodgers. But, you know, that's a story for another segment. Right now, I want to tell you about the good people with Doc Linville's office because he's a guy that's a game changer that can be on any team in any organization and help you because he helps you look better by getting your actual hair back. He did it for me and John Granato and my teammates like Jake Asman and Fred Fowler. He's done it for so many people, he can do it for you too. And it's all natural. It's all your hair. You know, you've seen the balding spots, the thinning spots. You figured there was nothing you can do about it. Maybe you just were going to move on to the next chapter of your life by shaving your head. You don't have to. And it's not sprays and creams and foams and things that just mask the problem. This is your own hair, and it's taking it from where you have a lot, and mainly the sides and the back, which genetically will never go away, putting it where you need it most, mainly that baboon's butt on the top back of your head or the 8 head that you have that used to be a 4 head where your hairline is, and giving you more confidence, a better look, more coverage area for your hair, and it's only going to get better over time, and it's never going to go away. 95%+ success rate of all the follicles moved, staying and growing, and for you as ESPN listeners, you get a deal that no one else gets. Normally, just to have a consultation with Doc Linville's office, it costs $150. For you, it's absolutely free if you go to 975hair.com. As an ESPN listener, he'll do that consultation. He and his staff will talk to you for free. You can ask all the questions you want. How much does it cost? Do you have finance options? How long does the procedure take? When will I see the full results? The success rate, which I talked about, 95%+ success rate is what got me. I did it, couldn't have been happier with it. Still am glowing about it today because I have thicker, stronger hair in all the areas where I didn't have any. And my old hairline is back. It's fantastic, and it's all thanks to him. Doc Linville, the best of business, in my opinion, at the Neograph procedure here in Houston to do it for you, too. Go to 975hair.com right now and see if the Doc Linville Neograph procedure is right for you.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.